Hello and welcome back to another episode of Benzinga's Cannabis Insider, the show that dives into everything from the latest market trends to exclusive interviews with some of the biggest players in the cannabis industry. I'm Pat O'Little, this time going solo as you can see, but I'm here to keep you updated with the latest and greatest in the cannabis world. And for today's show, we got an exclusive guest. We have Mr. Brett Worley, seasoned leader in the cannabis world, driving innovation and distribution in the wholesale cannabinoid space. As the CEO of MC Nutraceuticals, he oversees operations, strategy, and growth, supplying over 650 brands worldwide with the highest quality hemp-derived cannabinoids. But before we dive into our conversation with Brett, let's quickly review together this recent news from the world of cannabis. All right, to start, first of all, I'd like to talk about this development around the legalization process in Germany, which kind of updates what my podcast partner, Abby Higbotham, and I discussed with the CEOs of High Tide and Sanit Group last week. Dr. Klaus Reinhardt, the president of the German Medical Association, has strongly criticized the cannabis legalization. He expressed concerns that the proposed cannabis reform may not adequately protect minors and argued against allowing marijuana use for individuals under 23. Dr. Reinhardt particularly called the idea of allowing cannabis use at the age of 18 absolutely irresponsible from a medical perspective. This criticism comes amid optimism from German health minister about the approval of cannabis legalization by Germany's national parliament in February. So as we can see, the debate over cannabis legalization in Germany continues. And if you're interested about this topic, I really recommend watching the Cannabis Insider episode with Drudge Grover and Finn Hansel, CEOs of High Tide and Sander Group, we had last week. You can find it on our Cannabis Insider YouTube channel. And next, flying down to the U.S., 12 Democratic senators, including Elizabeth Warren and John Fetterman, are pressuring the DEA to fully legalize cannabis. They actually sent a letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland and DEA Administrator Ann Milgram, seeking insight into the agency's scheduling review of cannabis. This move comes after the release of documents revealing that the Department of Health and Human Services recommended rescheduling cannabis as a Schedule 3 under federal law. The senators argued that the full descheduling is necessary to address the shortcomings on the current system, especially in penalizing black and brown communities disproportionately. And also on a federal level, a recent poll conducted by the Terrence Group, affiliated with the Republican Party, indicates that 57% of U.S. likely voters, including a significant portion of Republicans under 55, now support nationwide legalization of cannabis. This shift reflects changing attitudes, particularly among younger generations, and suggests potential political gains for President Biden if federal cannabis policies are reformed. The poll underscores the bipartisan and generational movement towards cannabis legalization. And you can find the article itself with the data and, with all the poll data at benzinga.com/cannabis. And finally, one last update, adding important news on the state level. Ohio regulators have released the first set of proposed rules for the recreational marijuana market, following the state's recent vote to legalize adult use marijuana. Stakeholders have until February 9 to provide feedback on these rules. The proposed regulations include timelines for launching applications for medical cannabis operators, pursuing dual licenses, and provisions for social equity and job creation initiatives. Additionally, the proposed rules aim to eliminate medical cannabis patient and caregiver registration fees, while reducing renewal fees for medical marijuana processor licenses. The State Division of Cannabis Control will review feedback before finalizing the rules, providing stakeholders with further opportunities to comment. And those were the cannabis news we selected for today. Remember, you can read more at benzinga.com/cannabis. So now, without further introduction, find a comfortable place and join me in for this exclusive and exciting interview we have ahead. Let's get rolling. Hello, Brett. Welcome to Cannabis Insiders. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good, Pato. Thanks for having me.
All right. Again, very happy to have you on this episode. I'm very excited about the answers to the questions I'm going to make you, because the cannabinoids market is something that actually I've been following for quite some time at Benzinga. So let's jump right into the first question. MC Nutraceuticals is known as the largest global supplier of cannabinoids. Could you tell us about the journey of MC Nutraceuticals and the mission and its mission in the cannabis industry?
Sure. I've been in the space for 4 years. MCN is a little over 3.5 years old. I built the company with, you know, a couple key things in mind. One was innovation, science behind the cannabis plant in the hemp market specifically. Due to, you know, the Farm Bill's guidance on regulations, it leaves us a lot more room for flexibility. And the second thing was distribution and sales. So we're the leader in the hemp-derived cannabinoid market in the cannabis industry at whole. We actually have about 750 clients now in 29 countries. So we're also worldwide. We have a company based out of the Czech Republic where we do a lot of distribution for the rest of Europe. And then we also service, you know, as the Southeast Asia countries come online, such as Japan and Thailand, we service those markets too. So we're an early adopter to new markets, early adopter to the science and the new cannabinoids. We sell 46 cannabinoids currently. And, you know, those people are hemp clients, cannabis clients, or somewhere in between.
Yeah, I actually got that outdated number of brands. So it's over 650 now. That's a lot. And in that regard, I mean, those brands, from my understanding, are across US, Europe, and Asia. So what are the key factors that have contributed to the company's success on a global scale?
You know, a lot of our, I mean, it's simple. One, obviously pure cannabinoids. So we have a, you know, full in-house testing facility. Obviously we do third-party testing too, but the speed of having a full testing facility in-house allows us to run R&D quicker and also make sure that our batches are up to spec for our clients. And then the second thing again is sales. A lot of our competitors don't have a sales team. I have 22 salespeople in-house in my building. And that's really kind of what separates us from everybody else is, you know, we really invested in the sales channel, in the distribution, all of our orders that get placed before 2 p.m. Mountain Time ship same day overnight. So what I call us is we're the Amazon of cannabinoids, and that level of service and that level of, you know, sophistication, if you will, is, you know, far exceeds our competition. Our, you know, our closest competitor probably has 50 clients and we have over 700. So it's a large difference. And then in the international channels, having that ability to distribute from directly from Europe, you know, take euros or Czech crowns or whatever it is, has also been a game changer for our European presence.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask you about the third-party testing, but before we jump into that, can you provide insights into the significance of the minor cannabinoids in the cannabis industry, mm-hmm. and their potential impact on the market?
Sure. Yeah, the minor cannabinoids, you know, go back into my history a little bit. When I first tried CBN, and we didn't make it, I tried CBN and, you know, it worked. It put me to sleep. I probably took about 50 milligrams of CBN and it knocked me out. So that was when I started to understand the beneficial, you know, therapeutic benefits potentially of these cannabinoids, you know, CBC, CBN, CBGA, CBDA, et cetera. You know, and that really showed me what happens when you start to mix and blend these things. You know, another thing that we have really pride ourselves on being one of the best formulators in the space. So whether it's Delta 8 plus CBN or HHC plus CBN, or if, you know, a company like Wana wants to put CBN in their gummies, these things really tailor to the effects of the consumer, and it gives the consumer a higher quality products. In the cannabis industry, or the legacy cannabis, you know, marijuana market, you know, is always Delta 9 distillate in a gummy and that's it. when the hemp industry came along, we were allowed to provide these other complementary cannabinoids in order to like bolster the product offering, which has done quite well. I think the Delta 9 plus CBN gummy in California is the top selling gummy in the market. So, you know, these blends are just going to become more and more relevant in the hemp market and in the legacy marijuana market. And we'll continue to see them as companies like us continue to develop them.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then now going back to the question I wanted to make you, how do you ensure in your company that safety and quality of, I mean, the safety and quality of its cannabinoid products, and what role does the third-party testing play in this process?
Sure. I mean, for us, we've invested a lot in the chemistry. I have two PhDs on staff, three chemists, masters and bachelors on staff. So, you know, you start there, obviously, is, you know, these products aren't necessarily very hard to make. They're very common in normal food and nutraceutical development and even in pharmaceutical development. So the processes to make a Delta 8 or a CBN are fairly well known. And then thirdly, to your third party answer, is because they're so easy, you know, to make, as long as you know what you're doing and you're a PhD chemist in most cases, you know, it's really easy to make sure that everything's third party testing. So the third party part is the easy part, you know, making sure that your pesticides, microbials, mycotoxins, et cetera, are done properly. You know, we never see those type of products in our you know, cannabinoids, for example. It's very easy to remove those things. So the basis is what really matters, making sure you have the proper equipment, C1D1s, you know, the right distillation technologies, etc., make the third party analysis very easy. And then the second part's the compliance, you know, making sure that the Delta 9 THC is less than 0.3%, which is, we do a lot of that just in-house because we have to. So, you know, we have three HPLCs and a GCMS. We're probably adding another one of each very soon, just due to our growth. And, you know, again, my team makes it all happen for me so that I can have these interviews.
Right. And with such a great offering of different cannabinoids for the bulk wholesale, how do you see the market evolving in terms of consumer preference and demands?
I think we have a long way to go on the education side. You know, obviously CBN took some time, you know, 2 or 3 years to kind of catch on. We have a product that's 50 milligrams of CBC, and everyone that has some sort of ailment, if you will, you know, pain, loves it. And that's without THC. So there's so much education to be done. That's partially why I like doing these type of interviews, is because I get to educate and show you my point, you know, from my point of view. And to be fair, that, you know, a lot of hemp companies are doing this, but it's still slower than I would like. You know, the tetracannabivarian, the THCV, is my favorite molecule, and we don't sell enough of it. Let me tell you that. So, you know, there's still some time, and people need to understand the chemistry and the cannabinoids, and then the effects of them, which will just come with time, especially if, you know, everything's rescheduled or descheduled. You'll start to see some more science funding, and we plan on funding a lot more science this year also, just given that we have the ability to. So we plan on starting quite a few studies with the University of Mississippi and Dr. L. Sully, who runs the marijuana program down there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. We're gonna dive into the regulatory frameworks now, just in a bit. But before that, I have a question about white labeling and custom product development, because from my understanding, those are services offered by MC Nutraceutical. So
sure.
How do these services benefit your clients and partners in the industry?
Yeah, so we can handle everything from, you know, the raw material all the way down to a vape cartridge or a gummy or a tincture, whatever it is. So, you know, again, you know, at the beginning, the company really was supposed to be a one-stop shop that you could trust, you know, a brand that you can trust with your products, essentially. So we decided to continue down the value chain, and we continue to invest more money into, you know, vape, pre-rolls, gummies, et cetera. Those are kind of the top SKUs. So we continue to offer our services to our clients downstream. One, obviously, as for revenue, and then two, as a trust component. So we believe that we, you know, we're the best in the business, and we want to keep as much as the product manufacturing in-house, given our product knowledge and compliance behind the products themselves.
Very clear. Very clear. And just a minute ago, you mentioned the farm bill. Could you elaborate on the regulatory challenges and changes that you have encountered during your journey?
Sure. So I'm also on the board of American Healthy Alternatives Association. It's the largest hemp association and maybe cannabis that might be up for debate in the country. So I deal with a lot of regulatory affairs. I wear two hats is what I typically tell people. So I have my regulatory hat and then I also have my operational hat. And my sales hat, I guess, three. So I do all three things for the company and, you know, regulatory has been a challenge for the most part. We're based in Colorado. We had a large end fight, if you will, marijuana versus hemp. We were able to stay and manufacture here, but it had to be shipped to a legal state. So even in the state that I operate into, I can't sell, or my clients can't sell into the retail channel if it's over 1.25 milligrams of THC. So we see these types of things across the country. I do my best to, you know, stand up and fight for the small hemp businesses across the country. And, you know, we see success, honestly. So I was a part of the Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, Florida, and Colorado legislation last session. And West Virginia also regulated the sale of adult 8 to just 21 plus. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that this year. I think a lot of the infighting has stopped, if you will. Hopefully that is due to some of the efforts of me and my association. But I think a lot of people are starting to see, like, you know, CBN's made from Delta 8 THC, for example, for the most part.
Right.
You know, if Delta 8's bad, then by design, CBN's kind of bad. So there's a lot of just misinformation. And when we come into and educate politicians, they seem to be very receptive of what we've done, our professionalism, and, you know, the revenue for the state. I mean, Florida is the biggest cannabis state in the country, and that's just hemp. So it's $6.9 billion of hemp retail sales. California was 5.9 last year. So, right. You know, hemp is very large. It's, you know, Bo Whitney has famously stated that it's a $22 to $35 billion market, I think. So 28 billion, that would make it larger than cannabis. And that's not even talking about the net cash flow. There's significantly more net cash flow in the industry than in cannabis. And we're also dispelling the black market, which is also another thing that I love to be able to say we're doing, you know, because you can go get Delta 8 at, you know, down the street, a smoke shop or a gas station, people are less likely to engage in black market activities, which is very nice. So, you know, I think overall hemp is very much a net positive. There's so many different cannabinoids that we can drive from the hemp plant that are beneficial to the consumers, and the consumers want it. Clearly, $28 billion of, you know, dollars being exchanged for mainly Delta 8 and cannabinoids alike. There's clearly consumer demand.
Exactly. Yes, totally. And also, I just wanted to say that, yes, without a doubt, the efforts from people like yourself are more than definitely moving the discussion forward across the country. So those are very valuable efforts. And another question more around your background, which I think it includes expertise in planning, budgeting, and forecasting. How do you apply these skills to stay ahead of price compression, for example, and regulatory changes in the industry?
Yeah, I think in this space, agility is the most important thing. You can budget, you can plan, you can do all, you know, your forecasts. You know, obviously, if you're in, I just got done with all those things. But, you know, the number one thing in my company is agility, and then the company culture itself. You know, I want to make sure that my people want to be here, stay here, and grow with the company. And that's something that we've started since, you know, employee number one, essentially. We're now, I think we just hired 8 people in the last week. So we're at about 60 employees now. And, you know, there's nothing more important than my staff, that it gives me, again, the ability to educate and do the regulatory stuff. So I don't have to worry about if I am traveling and I'm at home. So, you know, as far as, you know, my expertise from previous businesses, you know, the thing that I learned the most or used the most was just being agile and making sure we have a good company culture. And it, so far, that has been the two reasons why we've succeeded, you know, along with sales, of course. But, you know, those three things together made a good company, really.
Yeah, exactly. Agility and uncertainty are actually those two words that go together without a doubt. So,
yeah,
that's definitely the way to go. And finally, could you share some examples of, I don't know, maybe the most innovative cannabinoid products that MC Nutraceuticals have developed to enhance consumer health and wellness?
Yeah, I think, again, THC, there's my favorite. And then there's, you know, maybe more tailored to your, I mean, THCV is my favorite. It's very much like caffeine, but without any type of jitters. I don't consume a lot of caffeine, but I do consume some. So tetracannabivarian is my favorite. I am famously not a consumer anymore of THC products. I used to be when I was younger, but so I like the products that are non-psychoactive. And then another product that we make is, again, the CBN product. So we make a 50 milligram CBN soft gel. And if I can't sleep, I'm taking two of those and it works. The third one is cannabichromine, which is CBC. It has a nice form factor. It's a low viscosity, so it's really good. It complements carts very well, as sometimes carts have clogging issues. So CBC is kind of the new kid on the block, and that's really kind of your pain relief type of a cannabinoid. As far as new cannabinoids, THCP is an extended release cannabinoid. That's what I call it. It binds your receptor longer. So people that have issues with either having to redose often or just need something that's a little bit longer lasting, THCP is a pretty good alternative. And, you know, CBG, CBGA, and CBDA all need honorable mentions too. So those are all cannabinoids that people have really tailored to. We have a small direct-to-consumer website where people are able to buy these cannabinoids by the gram, which people have really latched on to making their own blends at home. So we've gotten a lot of consumer data back from them on, you know, I made this blend or that blend and it helped me with this, that, and the other.
What is that website? Can you share it with us?
It's Vivimu, Vivimu.com.
Perfect. That's very good data. And is there any future endeavors, any plans you want to share with us, any question you would like me to make you and I didn't?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're going to continue to move forward the science and the evolution of cannabis. That's my goal, whether it's regulatory or science-based. I truly believe, and I say this quite often, is hemp has evolved the cannabis science by at least two decades now. Sometimes I say three, because of where cannabis was before hemp was legalized in the 2018 Farm Bill. So, you know, through regulation, through education, we are being forced to do these things. So we get to educate the politicians on a state-by-state basis under the flag that it's federally legal, which is extremely helpful. You know, those conversations are a lot harder to have whenever you're Schedule I narcotic. Politicians are less likely to probably talk to you. So that's been immensely helpful, and I can't, thank the Farm Bill enough for having that opportunity to educate these people. But I think overall it's a good thing as we head to rescheduling, as we head to, you know, the hemp and the cannabis industry working closer together as the cannabis industry or the marijuana industry is understanding that these things are very beneficial to them. We have more marijuana companies buying our products than ever. Stizzy, Cookies, and some others have already gotten into the space and just fully embraced it. So I think, you know, beyond that, we're going to continue our mission, which is to keep these things, you know, regulated to a certain degree, but not over-regulated, and making sure that the science continues to evolve and the education is there.
Very clear. Thank you very much. And thank you again very much, Brett, for joining us for this episode. It's been great to hear about your insights and about what we can expect soon from this market. Hope you had a good time too.
Yes, I did. Thank you for the time, and I appreciate being on the podcast.
So of course, and hope you can come back anytime soon, and I hope you have a great day. Thank you, Brett.
Thank you. You too.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for joining our insightful conversation with Brett from MC Nutraceuticals. That was a very interesting conversation. And this wraps up our today's episode of Cannabis Insider. But before we go, I wanted to remind you to stay tuned for all of Benzinga's content we put out daily, especially on the lookout for our upcoming events. In April, we have our Benzinga Capital Conference, one of the most important and highly anticipated events we host. And you can also check on our virtual events at benzinga.com/events. Please do not forget to follow us on all our social media platforms for the most up-to-date cannabis news. Thanks again, everyone, for joining today. My name is Pat Little. Stay green, informed, and see you on the next episode of Benzinga's Cannabis Insider.